Well, hello everyone, and greetings in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. This is your voice of the gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, thanking God for this privilege and opportunity I have of bringing to you another message in the gospel of God's grace. Yes, I thank God for having extended His day of grace so that we might have this blessed privilege and opportunity to tell forth the wonders of His love. And today we're going to open up the broadcast with a lovely tune of encouragement to those of us who are saved, and the title of the hymn is All the Way My Savior Leads Me.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to work beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know
today, again, I'm going to test the concern of you Christian listeners tuned our way today. I want to know whether or not you really have a concern for the souls of your unsaved friends and neighbors and relatives. You profess to be a child of God, and if you're really born again, you know that you have been delivered from eternal damnation in the fires of hell. Now, friends, here's the test. If you really are saved, if you're really born again, and if you really have a burden for souls, then just stop whatever you're doing and ask someone to listen to the broadcast. Please, friend, right now, while the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your soul, telephone that friend or neighbor and ask them to listen to the program. You know, I believe that if we Christians put our Christianity into practice, there would be fewer souls in hell today. Yes, if we stop to think where our friends and relatives are going to spend all eternity if they die unsaved, well, there's one thing sure, we would do everything possible to lead them to Christ. Because if they're not saved soon, the likelihood is they'll not be saved at all. I think of what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So Christian friend, have you ever stopped to think where you would be today if someone hadn't taken the time to tell you about Jesus Christ? Have you? Suppose no one had a concern for your soul and you went merrily on your way into eternity. What would you think of the people who could have told you about Jesus Christ but didn't? Well, friends, I read back in Ezekiel 33 and verse 7 where God says, warn them from me. In the next verse, here's what He says. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. So, friend, please call up someone now, and at least you'll have a clearer conscience if they continue to reject Christ as their Savior. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we come into Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy beloved Son. We thank Thee for His condescending grace, His perfect walk while here below, but we thank Thee most of all for Calvary. It was there that they crucified him, the just one dying for we the unjust, so that he might bring us back to thee. Our sins and iniquities had separated us from thee, but we thank thee, our God, for the mediator between, the daysman, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who suffered, bled, and died in our guilty room and in our stead. And Father, the desire of our heart today is to preach Christ, to warn sinners to flee from coming judgment. So, Father, we ask thy blessing upon thy word about to be read and spoken from today. Honor afresh thy Son and thy word, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, friends, today I would like to direct your attention to a verse of Scripture as we find it in John's Gospel, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3, and verse 36. John 3 and 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Friends, this is one of my favorite verses of Scripture because it divides all mankind into the two parts. In the first part of the verse, we read that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Then the last part tells us that he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, friends, our Scripture text for today, John 3 and 36, leads us to a question which I believe at one time or another has been in the mind of everyone listening to this broadcast. It is a question which can only be answered by the Word of God, because our poor finite minds are incapable and utterly helpless in answering such a question. The question is this: will a loving God permit anyone to be eternally lost? Let me repeat the question. Will a loving God permit anyone to be eternally lost? Now, friend, apart from the revelation that God has given to us in the Bible, we know absolutely nothing about what he will do in the eternity that lies ahead. And mankind may reason as they wish, but their reasoning and lack of spiritual discernment will in no way alter the facts as found in the Word of God. Some men may come to one conclusion, and another group of men may come to a different conclusion. We may say, well, I think this, or I think that. But, friend, our thoughts, unless based on God's Word, will be meaningless insofar as fact is concerned. Yes, my friends, it is in the Word of God alone that this question is answered. And furthermore, even if we were to fall back on our mere finite reasoning, it seems to me that no thinking person could come to the conclusion that a man could live and die in sin without suffering for those sins. Friend, be sure your sin will find you out, is indeed an unalterable law of nature as well as of God. Now, friend, any argument that might be raised against a loving God permitting men and women to suffer in hell because of sin could also be brought against a loving God that would permit men and women to suffer in this life because of sin. But, friend, let's just take a look at the facts. And these facts can only be found in the Word of God itself. Now, for 6,000 years, history has shown that a loving God permitted sin to come into the world. He permitted pain, sorrow, broken hearts, sickness, unspeakable anguish, and even death to mar his fair creation. So what reason do we have to believe that God will not permit the results and effects of sin to go on into eternity? None whatsoever. On the contrary, God has made it quite clear in his book, the Bible, just what lies ahead for every Christ rejecter. Yes, for everyone who rejects his offer of love and mercy and grace through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's just stop for a moment and listen to the reasoning of man. When I discussed this subject with an acquaintance of mine some time ago, he expressed himself in this way. You're a father. Would you ever put one of your children in a place of intense pain, if you could help it? Would you ever expose your children to a fire? Well, of course I had to answer no. He then made this remark. Well, if you wouldn't do such things to a child of yours, what makes you think that God would cast people into the flames of hell because of their sins? And the answer to this type of reasoning is this. First of all, if you're unsaved, you're not a child of God. No, the Bible says if you've never been saved and born again, you're a child of wrath, you're a child of disobedience, and you're a child of the devil. And secondly, the only way I have of knowing what God will do in the future is to observe what he has done in the past, and then to read his word to determine what he promises to do in the future. My friend, the God of heaven has never lied. And if he could lie, he would cease to be God. In Romans 3 and 4, we read, Let God be true and every man a liar. So in seeking an answer to our question today, we must begin with the premise that the Word of God is true. Now before we turn to the Word of God, let me ask you these questions. Friend, will you admit that God has permitted men and women, and even children, to suffer throughout their entire lifetime? Will you admit that God has permitted little babies to be born into this world, the victims of incurable diseases, and often the result of their predecessor's sins? Now, would you have expected that of God, from your idea of who God is and what He should do? Yes, my friend, the facts are all around us in the world today. The hospitals, the asylums, the prisons, and the cemeteries all stand as mute evidence to the unalterable Word of God. And the only way we can account for these tangible facts is that God hates sin with an infinite hatred. And in order to make men realize what a fearful thing it is to sin against Him, He has allowed these dreadful consequences to befall those who commit the sins, as well as those generations yet to come. Now, if I were to turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5 and verse 9, we would read these words, "For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me." Now, friend, some of you may object to this statement by God, but nevertheless His word is true, because He has done and is doing this very thing. Therefore, we must come to the conclusion that a holy God abhors sin so much that He allows the various results of sin that have plagued the history of mankind for 6,000 years. And by so doing, He wants us to understand that sin is the vilest, blackest, and most dreadful thing in the universe as we know it. Over in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, God says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now, friend, it's quite evident from the lives some of us lead that we either do not know that God has made such a statement, or if we do know about it, we are in complete disregard to the warning and are willing to suffer the inevitable consequences. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 24 we read, "Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before them into judgment, and some men they follow after." Now what does this verse mean? Well, I believe it simply means that some men suffer unspeakably during this life because of their sins. But on the other hand, there are other men who, though sinning just as grievously, seem to escape the just reward for their deeds. There are many people today, some of whom may be listening to this radio broadcast, and you're living in luxury and pleasure on the earth. You are utterly indifferent to the social chaos and poverty of those about you. You are living selfishly and with complete disregard for the welfare of others. You perhaps have acquired your earthly wealth through unscrupulous means or an undeserving inheritance. You have indulged in the grossest of sins known to mankind. You have no time for the Word of God. You have no time for thoughts about eternity. You have no fear of God before your eyes. But friend, listen. There's a day coming, and perhaps sooner than you think, when the books are going to be opened and the accounts will be settled. Because as sure as you're listening to this program today, God says, "Be not deceived. He is not going to be mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Yes, some men's sins will follow after them, and like the bloodhounds of hell which they are, they will track men down and drag them before the great white throne judgment bar of God. Yes, where the record will be uncovered, and the wages of sin, eternal death and punishment, will be meted out to those who have never been saved and born again through faith in the blood of Christ. Now, I want to make one thing quite clear before I pass on, and that is this. The fact that some of you listening today have endured much physical and mental suffering during your lifetime does not necessarily mean that you as an individual are a greater sinner than anyone else. On the other hand, the fact that you have suffered much in your lifetime does in no way assure you of escape from future suffering at the hands of a thrice holy God. Friend, the Bible says that God is no respecter of persons, and the fact is there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How often we hear people say, "Well, I've suffered my hell on this earth, so I know that death will bring heaven to me." My friend, I say this in love and with heartfelt compassion for you who are suffering so much. If you believe such a diabolical, inspired doctrine, you are being deluded by Satan himself. You've fallen prey to the wiles of the devil, because nowhere in God's word do you who are suffering find assurance of heaven after death, apart from having faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself says in John 3:3 that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So friend, regardless of the trials, the tears, the sorrows, the pain and the anguish you've had to endure in this life, if you die without Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, you, like all the rest, will suffer the eternal wrath of a sin-hating God. So to you who are suffering so much in this life, why not assure yourself of eternal joy, peace, happiness, and bliss in the next life by simply acknowledging your sinful condition before God and then accept His Son, Jesus Christ, as your own and personal Savior. Now, some people might be thinking, well, what sin can a man possibly commit during his brief lifetime here on earth to deserve eternal punishment? Well, friend, the lack of logic in this question is proven by the fact that it only takes a second to pull a trigger and kill a man. Yet the murderer may have to spend 50 years or the rest of his life behind bars. So you see, there is no connection between the amount of time it takes a man to commit a sin and the punishment that befits the crime. God has seen fit to give you a mind with which to reason. He has given His precious word from which we can know His will. And when mankind spends a lifetime flagrantly disobeying the will of a sin-hating God, God has no alternative but to cast the sinner into hell. As I said before, God hates sin with an infinite hatred, and He cannot allow anyone into His presence whose sins have not been washed away by the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter 3:9, we're told that God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, friends, down through the centuries, God has demanded the shedding of blood for the covering and remission for sin. And His Word clearly states in Hebrews 9:22 that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission or forgiveness of sin. When Jesus Christ suffered blood and died on Calvary's cross, He was dying for your sins and my sins too. He was the obedient one dying for us, the rebels. He was the just one dying for us, the unjust. He was the sinless one dying for us, the sinners. Yes, He, the Lamb of God, was shedding His precious blood that sinners deserving of hell might, through faith in that blood, accept Him as their Savior and be born again by the Holy Spirit and Word of God. Friend, He was the Holy Son of God who had become the Son of Man, that we, being sinful sons of men, might, through faith in Him, become the sons of God. Oh, sinner friend, can't you see what Jesus Christ has done for you at Calvary? Can't you see that He loved you unto death, even the shameful and ignominious death of the cross? Can't you realize that He was bearing your sins and my sins in His own body on the tree? Well, if you can't, let me repeat the last phrase of our text for today. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Ah, my friends, this is the most solemn warning in the light of what we read in God's Word concerning His wrath. Yes, it's an abiding wrath, forever and forever and forever. Now, some of you may be saying, well, Peter, Paul, and John may have believed in the doctrine of eternal judgment for sin, but give me the words of Jesus Christ. Yes, let me hear the words of the loving, tender, gracious, compassionate, and gentle Jesus. Let me hear that beautiful Sermon on the Mount. His word alone will be enough for me. Listen, my friend, did you realize that in the Sermon on the Mount, that portion of God's word so often referred to by professing Christendom, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself used the word hell 5 times. 5 times. And furthermore, no one ever spoke as seriously and as solemnly of the eternal consequences of sin as did the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Why, He's the one in Luke chapter 16 who gives us our real picture of the sinner in hell. There He describes it as a place of fiery torment without the comfort of even a drop of water to cool the parched tongue. More than that, He describes it as a place of eternal punishment. Did you hear that? A place of eternal punishment. A place of no hope and no return. In another portion of Scripture, He defines it as a place where the fire is never quenched and where there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And it was the gentle Jesus Christ who said in Matthew 18:9, "If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire." Yes, my unsaved friend, it was Jesus Christ, God's Son, who speaks so often and so solemnly of that awful pit of woe called hell. Now, over in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 24, Jesus Christ says of Judas, the disciple who betrayed him, "It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Did you hear that? This was the man Judas, one of the disciples. He accompanied the Son of God for 3.5 years of his ministry. And it's to this man, the one who sold the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver, that the Lord Jesus Christ says it's better that he had never even been born. Now let me ask you who are unsaved today, how much are you selling Jesus Christ for? Is it for pride, sinful pleasure, or perhaps procrastination? Many of you have heard the gospel of God's grace over and over again, yet you continue to neglect and reject God's way of salvation. Of you it may likewise soon be said, "It had been good for you if you had never been born." Now in the time remaining, let us get down to the basic facts involved in the sinner's condition today. First of all, my friend, whether you believe it or not, the Bible says that you're a hell-deserving sinner in the sight of a holy God. Secondly, if you're unsaved, you are spiritually dead in trespasses and in sin. And thirdly, regardless of your belief to the contrary, an eternity of punishment awaits you if you die in your sins and if you are unsheltered by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, friend, God is not going to hold you responsible merely because you're a sinner. Because after all, you were born a sinner. Yes, you and I were born with a sinful nature, a fact over which we had absolutely no control. And God's not going to cast a sinner into hell simply because that sinful nature has manifested itself in sin. You say, then why are men eternally lost? The answer, I believe, is found in our text. Yes, John 3:36 says, "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." And friend, this one statement in God's Word plucks up by the very roots two modern theories by which the devil is fostering and leading souls into the pit. First of all, there are those who believe in a second chance after death. My friend, there is not one verse of Scripture to support such a devil-inspired doctrine. No, there is no such a place as purgatory. Jesus Christ says in Mark chapter 2 and verse 10 that He has power on earth to forgive sin, not after you die. No, not after you go to a man-inspired and conspired purgatory. In Job 36 and verse 18, God says, "Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee." Did you hear that? You can't either pay or pray someone out of a so-called purgatory, because there is no purgatory, not even the word purgatory. There's not even the word purgatory found in any Bible on the face of the earth. In this life, God, by His Holy Spirit, is pleading with sinners to accept His Son as their Savior. He's offering them eternal salvation. But He also brings forth this alternative to those who reject His Son. "They shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." No, my friend, those who reject Christ in this world have absolutely no chance to accept Him in the next. God makes it plain in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2 where He says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And if we were to turn to Proverbs 29 and verse 1, we would read these words, "He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Now, if there was a purgatory, there would be a remedy. But He says, if you continue to reject the warning to accept Christ as your Savior, and you harden your neck or harden your heart, God says you're suddenly going to be destroyed, and that without remedy. The second devil-inspired doctrine, which is shattered by John 3:36, is the widely expounded theory that the punishment for sin is nothing more than utter annihilation. Listen, friend. God's Word says concerning the Christ rejecter that the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, how can you associate abiding wrath with annihilation? Friend, the eternal wrath of God abideth on man because they refuse to accept the gift of His love, the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 3:16, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, if there is no such thing as eternal punishment, what did He mean by "should not perish"? And why did He leave the glories of heaven to come down to this sin-cursed earth if it wasn't to save man from the terrible and eternal wrath of God? Listen, unsaved friend, you may hide your head in the sands of unbelief, but that will in no way alter the truth of God's Word. If you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says you're going to spend all eternity in the place that Jesus Christ calls hell. Now, friend, over in Hebrews 10 and 31, we read that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And what makes it so fearful? Simply because it's eternal punishment and separation from a sin-hating God. Now, there's one more question I want to put to you who are unsaved today before I close, and that is this. If God cast the sinning angels out of heaven and into hell, if God caused the flood to drown everyone in the world but Noah's family, if God rained fire and brimstone down upon the sinful cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and if God would permit mankind to shamefully crucify his only well-beloved Son, friend, what makes you believe that God would not cast you into the eternal flames of torment, especially, after he has given you every opportunity to escape such a judgment by exercising simple faith in the finished work of his Son at Calvary's cross? Friend, I want you to know that God loves you today. Yes, God loves you. He wants you right now to accept the truth of his word concerning the fact that his Son died on the old rugged cross for your sin. If you'll believe that with all your heart, the Bible, which cannot lie, says you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our God and Father, again we bow in thy presence to thank thee for thy Son. We thank thee for the value and the virtue of his shed blood at Calvary. We thank thee that he now sits at thy right hand. And Father, the desire of our heart is to see souls saved. So even now, may thy Holy Spirit be bringing both conviction and conversion to sinners. May they be trusting Christ even now as their Savior and Lord, for which we'll render thanksgiving in his name. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. And now until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.